Word of God with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 6, and in verse 14. May I never boast, may I never take pride in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. As we reference the horrible and violent and divisive hatred and divisive events of this last week, what's the solution? Some say, no justice, no peace. More justice, more laws, and laws are good to protect the innocent, punish the wicked. But will justice bring peace? Will bringing a penalty on one person, there should be penalties for wrongdoing, don't misunderstand me. But is that the overall solution? Is justice? No justice, no peace, right? That's the cry. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. Well, today I'm here to tell you that there can be no justice and no peace without the cross. There's no peace without a new man arising. There will be no peace unless there's a new creation. There will be no peace unless there is the Israel of God. You say, wait a minute, where's all that come from? I see that in the book of Galatians. They were no different from people today. You had different ethnic groups. You had the Jews. You had the Gentiles. And they were at each other's throats. This is nothing new. This has been going on ever since Adam sinned. And Cain rose up and slew his brother. There's been hatred and division. And I say there is no peace unless there is Jesus Christ. No justice, no peace. No, no Jesus, no peace. Even if you had all the justice in the world and all the guilty people punished, would that bring you peace? It will not. It will not. And the message that I want us to get across today is this: that peace and unity is in Christ alone. Peace and unity is in Christ alone. And the reason why I said earlier, there's no cross, there's no peace. No new man, no peace. No new creation, no peace. No Israel of God, no peace. You know why I said that? It's because Christ is all of that. He is the essence of the cross. He is the new man. He is the new creation. He is the Israel of God. I want you to see all of that today and how it relates to relationships. And as we examine ourselves today in light of the Word of God, we're going to look at a lot of Scripture today. And I may not give you an explanation to it all, but I want you to see how the Holy Spirit ministers and speaks to you through His Word today. And as we look at these very important things, notice what Paul said in Galatians chapter 6. We read it earlier, and I'll read it again. He says, may I boast, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, may I never boast. Let me tell you something. Pride is at the heart of every sin. Pride is at the heart of all division, of all hatred. One group hates the other. You know why? Because they look down on them. And in their pride, even as the man who went up to the temple to pray. Remember? I thank thee, O Lord, that I am not as other men. And especially this publican over here. Right? He says, I'm not going to boast, Paul said, in nothing other than the cross. You know why? Because it is symbol, is a symbol of what Jesus has done and not what we do. Paul said, I'll boast in the cross. I won't boast in my ethnic Israelitish background. I'm an Israelite. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. Why did you say Benjamin? Because Benjamin was well beloved of Jacob, his youngest son. And he said, no, I counted all of that as rubbish. There is no place for pride at the cross. He says, I want to know Christ and his sufferings. At the cross, we find peace. Why? Peace in our relationship with God. Because you want justice? You know what the justice of God is? That all sinners are punished and destroyed. I don't want justice. I want mercy. What about you? And I want peace with God. And at the cross, black, white, yellow, brown, male, female, no matter your education or accomplishments, guess what? At the cross, we are all on a level playing field. Because at the cross, you can't look down on anybody. Because at the cross, we have been judged all as sinners. We can only not look down on anybody. We look up to Christ for mercy. God have mercy on us because of the one who hung on the cross. We look up. We don't look down on anybody. Think about that. The next time you want to say, I'm thankful I'm not them, or I'm not that color, or I'm not from here or there. Whatever divides us, the cross is where we all must kneel. And we all must look at ourselves and then look up to God. No cross, you won't have peace. He is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. So it's at the cross. But not only that, we see that Paul said, neither circumcision, a sign that you were Jew, or uncircumcision, a sign that you were a Gentile, means anything. God is not impressed with flesh or the lack thereof. He really isn't. My mom used to have this saying, you know, God don't like ugly. And he's not stuck on cute. See, God looks at us if we're in Jesus Christ. If we are a new man. Notice, he says, neither circumcision, the Jewish man, uncircumcision, the Gentile man, means anything. What counts as a new creation? You know what the symbol of creation is? It's a man. It's a man. The old creation, you know who that was? Adam. And we read in 1 Corinthians, I won't turn here, chapter 15, verse 22, in Adam all die. See, there's no peace in the first creation. For in the first creation, man sinned. We're all sinners. There's no peace there. There's only peace in the new man. But verse 22 also says, in Christ, all, those in Christ, all are made alive. The problem is not the black man. The problem is not the white man. The problem is not the Mexican man. The problem is not the China man. The problem is a sinner man. Amen? And out of a sinful heart comes all the hatred, all the division, all the murder. See, the flesh, Jesus said in John 6, 33, he said, the Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. I don't care how proud you are, what color you are, where you're from, or who you're from, who your mama was, who your daddy was. Listen, it only counts if you're a new man. And guess who the new man is? Jesus. He is the second Adam.
And the problem is that people are in the first Adam. And all they can do is be miserable, no peace, and kill each other. I get you before you get me. All right? That's what you have in this world. You say, well, Pastor, these are spiritual things you're talking about. We got real life problems out there in the streets. Well, until you see the streets and your gun, and I got a bigger gun, you got a 9, I got an AR-15, and my 15 to take out your 9, and you got one magazine, I got 6 magazines strapped on my 15, and I can destroy you and a whole bunch of your folks. That's the mentality. That's the old man. And that's death. That is not the solution. And I know I'm speaking to the church. But see, that's where it's got to start. Because you have folk roll up in the church and roll out in their tank. Ready to take folk out. Right? But it has to start with the church. You've got to become a new man, born from heaven. We talked about that last week, right? I'm serious. When I look at you, I've got to see a new man. And when you look at me, you've got to see the new man. And who is the new man? Jesus. He's the second Adam. The first man sinned. The second man, he even loved his enemies. He even loves him. See, God doesn't look at and doesn't judge at the way we do. God, the book of Acts says, is not a respecter of persons. You know what that term, respecter of persons, means? He does not consider the face. Are you a respecter of persons? We've got to analyze our own selves here. Because, you know, we got to let our light shine. We've got to set an example. By this, all men shall know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Do you consider the face? Do you consider the race? Do you consider the sex? Right? What do you consider? God says he looks on the heart. And we need to see Jesus in me and see Jesus in you. See what I'm saying? That's the common denominator. The cross, right? And then the new man who's on the cross, who is risen again, and we have been raised with him. It's interesting. We need one new man. We don't need a United Nations. We need a united man. United Nations won't get it. They won't solve the problem. The Republicans won't solve it. The Democrats won't solve it. The Independents won't solve it. No. It's only in Christ. No Christ, no peace. In Ephesians, come there with me. I'm here today to tell you we need a united man, not United Nations. We need a new man. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. I'm sorry. No, I need chapter 2 and verse 14. Let this minister to you. Let this word minister. I could go on. Paul's dealing. I could give you more of this, but we have the Jews and the Gentiles. We have this problem. Even in the first century. Pick it up with me in verse 14. Speaking of Christ, for he himself is our what? Help me here this morning, this afternoon. What is it? He himself is our peace. We don't have to look anyplace else. Notice, who has made the two, the Jew and the Gentile. Who's made the two? How many? What does it say there? He's made the two what? One. See, we can't have peace until the two are made one. For we have been called to love each other, right? As Christ has loved us. How did he love us? By becoming one with us. Did he not become one with us? Huh? Did he not? He's one. Mankind's two. Did he not become God and man? One new man. He is the new man. He is the new humanity, which is God and man. He is the picture and the prototype. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Not only the prototype, he is the fulfillment of the new humanity, the new race, if you please. He is the new human race. He has made the two, Jew and Gentile, one. And has destroyed the barrier, whatever the barrier may have been. I could go into detail about the temple and other customs amongst the Jews and Gentiles. I'm not going there. You apply it, whatever barrier is in your mind. The dividing wall of hostility, segregation. God is not a segregationist. We don't need to make America great again. We need to go to the great God again, maybe for the first time. And he destroyed the barrier, social barrier, racial barrier, ethnic barrier, whatever barrier. Notice the dividing wall of hostility. God's not building a wall as tall as this ceiling. Come on now. God's about destroying walls. I'm talking spiritually. I'm not talking about that junk that you see. Where's your mind? Some of y'all say, well, what is he talking about? By abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. And his purpose was to, notice, create in himself one new man. This is revolutionary. This was scandalous. That's why Paul said, I'm not going to boast in anything but the cross. And the cross produces all of this. I ain't going to boast that I'm an Israelite. I ain't going to boast that I'm a Gentile. I ain't going to say it loud that I'm black and I'm proud. No, I'm going to say it loud that Jesus Christ is my Savior. And he's my Lord and Master. And I'll say it loud, he's my Savior. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I will boast in him. Black ain't going to get you nowhere. White ain't going to get you nowhere. Yellow's not going to get you anywhere. The flesh profits nothing, Jesus said. We're too much into the old man that's about the flesh. And I'm talking to the church. Those of you who are listening online. I'm not talking about the world. If the church would be all of this, we wouldn't have as much stuff happening out there. I believe that with all my heart, that the church has not lived up to its calling. I believe with all my heart that I have not, as an individual, lived up to my calling. I don't know about you. I don't know about your attitudes. I don't know about the little things that go in your head. I know about mine. And we need to examine ourselves. One new man. When I see somebody else, do I consider the face? One new man out of two, thus making peace. Notice, it's not going to be peace till there's oneness in Christ. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. At the cross, the hostility amongst races was put to death. It was paid for by Jesus Christ. There's peace in the cross. There's peace in this new man, this God-man, of which we have been called to be a part of, with a new identity. A new humanity, which is Christ. Not only that,
Christ is the new creation. He's not only the new Adam. He's not only the cross. It's all this through which we have peace. He is the new creation. And we need a new creation. The old is corrupted. And I'm not talking about trees. I'm talking about people. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know this. We've read it many times, but I want to show you something here. Something very, very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We read this all the time about new creation, etc., etc. Let's start in verse 14. Chapter 5. For Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all. He died for us in our sins. Therefore, all died. Remember he said back in Galatians, Paul said, chapter 6, verse 15, he says, I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. See, we can't be a new creation clinging to the old. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. Or so new cloth to old cloth because they won't hold together. And we got one foot in the world and its ways and one foot in the church that don't work. You ever try to do that? Imagine yourself, you got one foot. Let's say, you know, these neat little skateboards they have. Or you everybody been a skater? What's that cartoon moose? What's his name? Okay. Bullwinkle or something like that. You know, one of my legs are going one way and one going the other. I'm doing the split and I don't want to do the split. We're like that. We got one foot supposedly in the world, one foot in the church with God, but really we got both feet in the world. You can't serve two masters. And we have not died to the world's thinking. And it's all fleshly, and it's all selfish, and all prideful. When Christ died, we all died, and therefore all died. That's the truth, if you have faith in Him. And He died for all. Yeah, yellow ones and brown ones and the people you don't like. You know those people. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised for them. And He said, live for me by loving one another. Even the folks you don't like. For He said also through the Apostle John, how can you say you love God, right? Whom you have not seen, but hate your brother whom you've seen. And see, that's the problem because you see him. And you don't like him. But then you want to say you love God. And this is split. Just one skate going one way and one the other. You can't do the split and survive. You're either one or the other. Where am I? Verse 16. So from now on, after this sermon today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. What the world says about those people. You know how those people are. You know them. When we see their face, you know they don't bathe. All the stereotypes. You know they're all just thugs and pimps, D-money, come up in here to a certain state and then they go back down there after, you know, with the girls. As one governor said, they come up here from New York and Connecticut, D-money and all the drug pushes, impregnate white girls, and then go back. That's said in our nation by leaders. You know how them people are? They ain't nothing but thugs and pimps. Wearing them hoodies. I'm just trying to be real with you. You may not like what I'm saying today. I don't care if you don't like it. I care if God works in your heart. And I give this my own self a sermon. Ooh, they're moving in the neighborhood.
man, this neighborhood's changing. I better get out of here. Well, you know, I'm not prejudiced, but I got to be concerned about property values. Almighty dollar. Makes me holler. See, that is what you got to understand. This is so evasive in our culture that we're all sitting here guilty. This sermon's for me too. So from now on, repent, in other words, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we look down on him and da-da-da, we do so no longer. The ESV says, don't regard anyone from a fleshly point of view anymore. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and this is where the peace comes in, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All of this is from God, who's reconciled us to himself through Christ. Jesus is the new creation. He really is. The new Adam, new man, and the new creation. And everybody who through faith in him is a new creation. But we've got to walk like we are a new creation. We've got to walk like Christ, who had no issues with the Samaritan that everybody looked down on. If we're a new creation, we have to have a change of heart, change of mind. He's promised to give us a new heart, okay, where we act like Jesus in the world because we are new creations, because he is the new creation. There's nothing like him. He is God and man. You're talking about a new creation that never existed before. And he invites us to become part of that through faith in him. He's the new creation. Therefore, we must also. I'm going to tell you something else he is very quickly. In Christ, Christ is the Israel of God. Because Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16, let's just read it for reference sake, because we're going to go there. He says, peace in verse 16. Peace, that's where we're after it, right? And mercy. Peace to all who follow this rule. What rule? Everything he's been talking about. The cross, the new creation, etc. If you follow that, he gives this benediction. I may cover some of this next week. This is a benediction at the end of his letter. He says, peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. There's only peace in the Israel of God. No Israel of God, no peace. There is no peace outside of the Israel of God. Who is Israel? Oh, is it the United States and the British Commonwealth? Is Israel the people who live over in the Middle East, in Palestine? Is that the Israel of God? Who's the Israel of God? I submit to you that the Israel of God is Jesus Christ. And there's only peace and mercy in the Israel of God. It is not a political nation we call Israel. It is not geopolitical. It is not in a geographical location. It's Jesus. Folks have been searching for the key of David. Boy, if key of David is understanding who Israel is, let me tell you something. That's true. The key, not in the way you used to believe it. The key of David is Jesus. And through him you have understanding, mercy, and peace. That's who Israel is. Say, show me that, Pastor. I don't have time to show you. But I'm going to let that be a cop out. I'm going to take a swig of water, tea here, and I'm going to show you. Everything in the Bible pointed to Jesus. And Jesus, after his resurrection, he walked with his disciples along the road to Emmaus, and he said, listen, everything that is written about me the law and the prophets and in the Psalms. Everything there, it was written about me. Jesus is the consummation and the fulfillment of Israel. Remember David? David wanted to build a house for God. Remember that? You can check this out later in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 11. He wanted to build God a temple, build God a house. And guess what God said in 2 Samuel 7, verse 11? The Lord will make you a house. You want to build me a house? You can't build me no house, man. I'm going to make you a house. God going to make David a house? I don't think you got that. Whoa. Did God make a building for David? Did God give all these people under David to be the house of David, the house of Israel? Because I'm going to build, I'm going to make you a house. What he was saying is, I'm going to make you. But he wasn't talking to David. He was not talking to David. Wait a minute, it was directed toward David. I submit to you that Scripture reveals under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he was talking to the son of David. He was talking about Jesus being a house. The house of David, the Israel of God. Let's go further. Let's go to Matthew's testimony. In Matthew chapter 2, when Jesus was born, came this word. And in verse 14. See, today we've got a house divided against itself, and it cannot stand this way. Peace be upon the Israel of God. And it is not divided. In Matthew chapter 2, in verse 14, here we know in context that Herod was trying to kill Jesus. And we see in verse 13, the angel of the Lord said, verse 13 of Matthew 2, "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." Go to Egypt. Go to Egypt. I hope some bells and whistles are going off in your head. I hope that connections are already being made in your synapses. In Israel's infancy, with Jacob and his boys, the Israel of God in infancy went to Egypt to survive, where God had sent Joseph ahead. So, in verse 14, this Joseph. So he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled. Now this is Matthew speaking and writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." This was the prophet Hosea in chapter 11 and verse 1. And this is what Hosea wrote. "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Did you get it? Hosea thought, and correctly so, what God was telling him right then, and he wrote it. "When Israel was a child, I loved him and called him out, my son, out of Egypt." And from his perspective, then and there, he thought he was writing about the fact that Israel, that is Jacob and his sons, went into Egypt
in the infancy of that nation, just a handful of people, and that God called him out. But the Holy Spirit, who even inspired that, breathed that, comes and says, this is the fulfillment in Matthew. I'll read it again in Matthew. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. He called Jesus to come out of Egypt now. He called Israel to come out of Egypt. Jesus is the fulfillment of Israel. Israel only, not only, but existed as the vehicle through which Israel would be born. We read at the beginning of this service earlier in the book of Genesis, the promise to Abraham, and in your seed, not seeds, one seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. One seed. It's only one seed of Abraham, not all the seeds of Abraham. One seed. And Paul tells us in Galatians, in that seed is Jesus. And in Jesus is our peace. Romans 9, I won't take the time to read there and turn there. In verse 6, it says, not all who descended from Israel are Israel. In verse 8, Paul says in Romans 9, it is not the natural children who are God's children. The problem is with the natural children. The solution is in the one child of God, who God sent into Egypt and called him out. Jesus, the Israel of God. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 3, he said, if anyone's in Christ, that's why he wrote and he said, in Christ, there's neither what? Jew nor Gentile. In Christ, there's neither slave nor free. In Christ, there is neither male nor female. In Christ, in that one seed. But there is the seed of Abraham. And in there, in him, you become the seed of Abraham. If anyone is in Christ, these statements throughout the writings of Paul, in Christ, are so important that if we grasp who we are, because in whom we are, I'm going to say that again. If you could grasp who you are, because of in whom you are in, blow your mind and change your life. And it is in that way that we need to relate to one another in the body of Christ. And if the body of Christ would be who God has called us to be in Christ, then we would be a shining light of peace, of harmony. You say, Pastor, you know, I've been through some things with some people. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've experienced. Well, I've experienced some things too. From the police all the way up and down. You know what he tells us to do in Ephesians 4? Don't quench the Spirit of God. The flesh, your anger, your resentment profits nothing. It's only death. I mean, that's the old man. That's the old creation. Don't quench the Spirit of God, he says in Ephesians 4. Get rid of all the bitterness, all the hatred. Forgive one another. Forgive, even as God forgave us. Where? How? In Christ. We're called to love our enemies. Love those who despitefully use you. In and out of the church. And be a walking, breathing, living, new man, new woman, new creation, be the Israel of God, which all comes through the cross. Boast in the cross. If you're going to boast of anything, boast in the cross. But if there is no Christ, if you're not in Christ, you're not going to be in peace. Father, may we walk in the peace and the love and the joy of the Holy Spirit and not our flesh. Let us not get caught up and be like the world, full of hatred, full of resentment. Help us, Father, Holy Spirit, live that same life that Jesus lived on earth. For He is our peace. He is our new man. He's our new creation and the Israel of God. Let us walk in this truth. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.